Matt Meyer has been sworn in as Delaware's 76th governor. His election does mark a turning point in Delaware politics. Meyer is a new face at this level of Delaware government, and his rhetoric has been a breath of fresh air. Will he deliver tangible reforms to match the messaging of his inaugural address? Can he coax the lumpen legislature to act against the body's natural proclivity to accomplish only overwrought marginal tweaks that are celebrated in the halls of the General Assembly, but effect very little change? Consider the case of Charles Friel. He's always called Bud for some reason, we don't know why. He served 24 years on the Wilmington City Council. In this job, he didn't do very much, but in Delaware, that's good. It ingratiated him with the city's political elite. Before representing his actual district on the council, he was the at-large council member, representing marginally affluent white people in general on a majority black and Hispanic Latino council, just like James Spadola and Nathan Field do today. When another old Irish geezer in the state House of Representatives finally cracked up for good, the Democratic Party picked him to finish the term. He did try to sponsor some legislation to further embolden the corporate real estate moguls from Westchester, Pennsylvania, but it didn't work. Regular listeners have heard how he engineered the state Senate District 1 special election in late 2024. The Wilmington Democratic Party apparatus is a tool of elites. It's meant to serve their interest alone. The decrepit party bosses have only the roles as ciphers and sycophants to give their lives any meaning. It's sad. They ensure the Delaware way continues like herpes. While you may not be aware of it, certain situations can spark flare-ups. They're seemingly is no cure. How are the party leaders able to wield such control while being subpar intellectually? How do they alienate actually dynamic professionals like Dwayne Bensing? These stories and local firebrand Joe Connor tonight on the Highlands Bunker podcast. Hello, comrades and friends. We are still in the shadow of Rockford Tower. We're still in the belly of the Delaware Way beast. We're just at another location, my local pub. We're going to talk about the things I mentioned in the intro, and we're going to talk about them with one of the original firebrands, the OG, Joe Connor. Joe, hello. How are you?
Pretty good today. It's been a weird vibe in the world and around here for the last couple of days, but I'm choosing to emphasize the really good vibe from last night.
Yeah, I wish I wouldn't have asked you about that because I was going to bring the vibes real down. But you're on a positive kick right now.
I am, and you know, and I really feel like, you know, what's going on nationally has caused me to like rethink where we should be and what we should be doing and where we should be going and where an old son of a bitch like me can best be effective. And I think coaching and helping with strategy and being a little letting things play out. I think there's some people that are between half my age and more than half my age that are doing just great. And those folks don't need to be told what to do. They might occasionally need some help with how to do things or how to think things through. And I think with what I'm seeing right now, there's a lot of opportunity in the city. There's a lot of opportunity with the new administration. And there's a lot of opportunity, and I think.
Well, let's interrogate it. The first thing I want to do is just let you know that in about 10 minutes, people are going to start coming in here trying to get the matches on the televisions, and they're down. These people are going to be very grumpy. Just ignore them. Some of them will start playing pool. You can just ignore them. Don't worry about it.
I've got bar experience.
I know. That's more for whatever vibe this is going to go. So this should be pretty funny. So yeah, topic one, Meyer. One of the reasons I wanted to have this here is because Matt came and met myself and Jordan Pusey right here for a half hour in December, in the middle of December. basically so I could introduce the NOCAP project to him and the police reform we want to try to do and just talk about it and just say that it's serious. I understand it's a long-term thing, but I want you to know where we're coming from right from the beginning. And he seemed very just receptive to it, and he did come here. I mean, this is not the governor's office here, as you can see. So I do have a lot of hope for him because of his rhetoric. You went to the inaugural ball, and you seem, I don't know, you're on another level right now. You had a transcendent experience in some fashion. I want to try to, like, can you explain it? What happened when you saw the thing?
Yeah, I kind of can. I was in this race that developed and happened. My prime directive to myself was that one person not ever get close to Woodburn or to the Tatnall building or the top floor of the Carville building. I just really didn't want to see that happen. And I put my money on Colin for a while. And I thought that was really a good idea, but I wasn't like upset with Matt. I just put my money on Colin. And I thought that the guy was going to like do something, and unfortunately he never did. And when the 30-day reports were filed, and you're familiar with these documents,
unfortunately,
and when I opened the Colin report and saw that all that money that he put into the campaign, none of it had been spent inside of the 30-day report, it was like, okay, this isn't happening. And, you know, for the last 10 days, I moved over to Matt's side and, you know, did whatever I could, which is probably not that much, but I supported him at the end.
Yeah, and I very famously came out, sort of, we had it out along those same lines and basically said, I'd vote for Meyer. I did vote for Meyer. Actually, I forgot. I got excited because I wasn't going to vote for anybody, and then I forgot. But I really think that he's saying the things that could make him effective. Is he going to do the things that are going to make him effective? And actually, now that we're talking about it, I'm almost feeling like I'm having like Obama trauma. Like I'm thinking back about everything we expected that guy to do, and he turned out to be fucking terrible. And I don't know. You know what I mean? There's that same feeling around it.
Well, I'm a cynic, bud. And, you know, I'm totally a cynic, and anything could go south. What I've got is a good vibe. What I've got is a good feeling that, you know, his thing last night that when he ended his intro and then went into the entertainment was, this is not going to be the same old song. And you know what? I don't know what's going to happen, but I know it won't be the same old song. John Carney couldn't have dreamed of throwing the party that Matt put together last night that was entertaining and fun and, you know, just took me back to my days at Sally's and all that. But, you know, Carney couldn't do that because he doesn't have any spark or life in him. You know, what I could tell you is, you know, so I'm betting some of this on the come that, you know, this man's got some life in him. This man's got, you know, he's got some real, and he tends to, you know, think more our way than most.
New Delaware way. The New Delaware way has Riz. No, I actually feel that because I mean, number one, you're completely right about Carney. He is just an empty. I mean, the word cipher doesn't even begin to describe what an empty suit the guy is. We went over his job history a few weeks ago. I mean, it's a joke. So. I do appreciate the idea of sort of like coming out and saying it's a new day. That's cool.
Yeah.
But Democratic politics.
But then there's Carney, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, and there's that. And you know where I stand with that, you know, up to and including the video I did and put on the internet from walking over here where the damn guy can't shovel the walks in on the city
street. Not confident city bureaucrats, sidewalks. Folks.
That's all I can say. The sun was shining, you know. Nice day. 4 days after the snow. City sidewalks. Nah.
Well, we're in Carney's Wilmington right now.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel
Carneyville.
Great. Yeah, it does not feel great. Well, here's what I'll leave it on the Meyer thing and just say I like you am very hopeful because of the things that he said, because of the things that you're saying, and because of that vibe that's around. I think you're right. Carney couldn't do it, and he's bringing a completely new sort of outlook to the whole enterprise.
And I think I need to say this. You know, I have a constituency of basically the homeless, the addicted. These are my people. And Carney and, you know, Carney and his crowd, they didn't care. They don't care about those folks. They just don't. They give lip service to it, you know. There's a feeling that Matt actually gives a shit about, you know, people that are down and people that need help and people that are, you know, need things.
Well, I will tell you, I mean, he has been very open. Like I said, he was here. He was instrumental in helping Hanif move the controversial thing he did.
Yeah, he absolutely
library.
Did that.
He again, I understand why people are hyped. I kind of like, I guess I'm just trying to, because we've lived through some hype before. You know, Bill Clinton with the Stevie Wonder. It struck me, because I remember Bill Clinton coming in and having Stevie Wonder at the inaugural, and then Matt went with Motown as well, and I was just, I'm having, like, fits. Like, is it just a show, though? It can't be just a show. That's
no, I think it's the music. I think, you know, I'm not a big musical anything, but I grew up with music. I grew up with that music was my age.
Right.
Matt.
We still listen to that music.
Matt,
I think it's
Matt claimed
cool.
Michigan roots last night at Bay City or something. I think it was where he was born, or in Michigan before he came to Delaware. And, you know, I think it was pretty authentic. I don't think it was. I think it was what. I think it's like, I like this. I hope you like it too. That was what I felt.
Cool. Well, I'm down. I mean, I'm optimistic. I'm just, I don't know. I'm like overly cautious.
Oh yeah. Well, this all could blow
up. I don't want to tune anybody's horn, but so far so good. We'll just
cross your fingers and see what happens in life. Yeah.
So now I have to tell you a story that you don't know, but I know Charles Bud Friel is a very old friend of yours. A lot of you old Irish guys all know each other.
There'll be a discussion about your phrasing, but go ahead.
I know, I understand. This is all, I mean, you know how it works. So I was sitting right in this spot last week, and I had played a bunch of games of pool, and actually had played a really great rack of pool against my friend Kirk. And I'm sitting down, finishing my beer, and I'm sending messages to Bill and Carl. And I had been thinking about David Lynch. It was the day that David Lynch died.
Gotcha.
And he has the thing about writing down your ideas or you'll kill yourself if you forget. So I was just texting them a bunch of ideas, and I came up with some bit about Bud Friel. I don't even know really what it was. But it just came to my mind. I put my phone down, getting ready to finish my pint. I want to go out, get my check, use the men's, and skedaddle. Who is sitting there in the middle of the bar? Bud Friel. So I'm
he lives in the neighborhood, buddy.
Of course. Well, again, I see him. I see him very often. I don't want to say often, but enough. So it wasn't a shock that he was there, and not only was it not a shock, I was like, I got him, because I'm just he's the carny in your original metaphor. You know, he's the guy in front of the new way, saying no, we need an old way. And so, I mean, we saw that when he was instrumental in ratting out our friend Brendan Fletcher. Which, again, he's, you know, Brendan didn't want to be homeless. He added him as a homeless person. I get that. Then he was instrumental in installing Ted Cruz in SD1. And so I don't, he's tried to undermine Sinead Darby from the day one. So
not succeeded at that one.
No, he's failed. He's failed. Yes, because you can't win at the doors. You can win. You can win in the wards, but you can't win on the doors.
Well,
but so I saw him and he said, "Hey, how you doing?" And I said, "I'm doing actually pretty well." I said, "Do you hear a clock ticking?" He said, "Why?" I said, "I hear it. I said, I hear a clock ticking. Have a good night." And I just walked out. I think we need to let them know that there's a clock ticking. And I think what you described
I want to do it like this. I don't want to give Buddy much oxygen. He's been very successful. He's very good at
very good at
rat fucking inside baseball.
Okay.
He's very good at it.
Yes. That's fair.
I was better. I think I still am better. I kind of try to control those impulses, but, you know, that's what he's good at. And he doesn't need any oxygen, because I think, you know, we're getting to a place where his source of supply is going to dry up, and just let it dry up, let him go off in the sunset. And
I had to kick him in the ass on the way out.
All right, whatever. But I also kind of take umbrage at the Irish potato stuff. You know, all four of my grandparents got off the boat, Ellis Island. And they all ended up in Southbridge and Vancouver Avenue. And you know, I got these Irish roots that, you know, Buddy is who he is, despite the fact that he's Irish, not because he's Irish.
Yeah, I think I will say this. I mean, obviously, the best brand of white person is an Irish person from Ireland. The Irish people that are here are, most of them are cops, actually. They're not great. They're okay.
Thanks.
But you wanted to move back. That's why you wanted to move back.
I went back, and we looked at the property. We really gave it a. We gave it a.
But you knew that. That's why you went through that process.
I can't do it for a lot of reasons that right. I waited too late in life, and I'm not in condition to do it. But we at least gave it a shot, you know. And I was even not only was I going to go back, I was going to live in the north.
Yeah, see, that's awesome. So you know what I'm saying. First, and the other thing is, I'll break character a little bit here. I do appreciate what you're saying. You do understand these are jokes, right? You understand how that works.
Sure,
I know. But I do. I'm glad you called me out. I think in the intro we just called him an Irish geezer. I don't know if that's. I mean, he is an Irish geezer. That's just facts.
Those are objective facts.
Yeah. I mean, look, you can't. That's funny. All right. We're going to take a little pause for you all for an important message from our sponsor, non-sponsor. All right. Hello, everyone. Rob here for a little change of pace. We're gonna get a little serious here in the middle of a fun episode. Joining me right now on the line is Christina Kelly. She is an activist and an organizer in Newcastle County. Many of you are probably aware of some of her previous work, but I want to welcome her to this call. Hello, Christina.
Hello, Rob. Thank you for having me on.
Of course. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Excellent. The reason Christina is joining me is because she, as I am, are part of the core group that have started a new issue campaign in Delaware, Neighbors Organized for Credibility and Accountability in Policing, No Cap Delaware. Christina is going to be helping out on our admin and communication side. We're also going to have research and policy teams, and we're also going to have outreach and action teams. So we're going to be asking for volunteers and people to get involved. But before we do that, I just want to thank Christina, because when I called her, she was the first person I called, and she was happy to get involved, and she's been integral in the launch of No Cap Delaware. So thank you for doing that.
Of course. And thank you for getting this issue campaign going, too.
Yeah, it's very exciting. I think everybody knows that, you know, after we took one on the chin with our Leobor reform, people were discouraged and sort of upset, and they felt kind of bullied and let down and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, I stepped in to try to start organizing people back up, and I felt like I felt the same as everybody else did. So we're trying something a little bit different. This is going to be independent and community driven. We've had, I guess, about 10 months worth of monthly meetings with a large working group of about 60 or 70 people from up and down the state. And we're turning it into something that we think can be used as a tool to demand change that we've never, ever gotten. And yeah, I'm just glad that the community seems to be on board with it, and just be happy that people are going to be getting back to work on an issue that seems like super important.
Yeah, I strongly agree. I think especially with, you know, seemingly dark, bleak times ahead of us, you know, this is the time where it's really important that we all come together, you know, as neighbors and you know, really work to almost force our government to, you know, protect us the way that they're supposed to.
Yeah, exactly. The way we're looking at this work is it's really public safety oriented. The two big areas that we're going to be basically creating research and policy information on, and then, you know, hopefully using that to demand changes in these areas are one, alternative response models. I know that some exist and some work. I know that some have been piloted and some partnerships have happened around Delaware, but probably not enough. And it just does not make sense to have a one-size-fits-all policy whereby if anything anywhere happens, armed men are going to be showing up and armed women ready to do violence. I don't think that that's, you know, a great way to deal with public safety in the 21st century. And that's going to be something that we're looking to research and demand changes. Also, I think everybody knows that transparency and accountability in Delaware are not really great when it comes to a lot of pieces of our government. The police are probably one of the biggest culprits of secrecy and not being accountable. We're also going to try to figure out what the best way is to have independent investigatory oversight of the police. Right now, the police still investigate themselves. They still do it in secret. They still only release information under a narrow set of circumstances that even includes body cam footage. And so, yeah, we need alternatives to this stuff so that the people feel like they're being, that public safety is being looked at in a 21st century approach, so that everybody's safer, the people and the people who are giving us services and protecting us, or supposed to be doing that, and we feel like we can do it. We feel like there's a better way, and so that's what we're aiming toward.
Yeah, and you know, I think especially now with a new set of leadership coming into Delaware, Governor Matt Meyer has already pledged to work towards increased transparency and accountability. I feel like, you know, now is as good a time as ever. There are successful models from all over the country between Colorado's STAR team and even the work that's been done in New Jersey, where, you know, Camden, New Jersey has seen significant improvements in public safety overall, even in instances of crime occurring, because of the increased transparency and accountability that they have implemented for their police forces. Delaware likes to call itself the first state. And while we might not be first in getting these increased measures across, I think, like I said, now is as good a time as ever.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can tell you, and Christina can too, and everybody on the team, we are under no illusion that this is straightforward work or easy work. We know the kind of pushback that we're going to get because we've seen it before. But we are not naive. We know that things work differently in other parts of the country and other parts of the world. We know that a lot of the processes that are in place, these secret processes, are broken. They create a mistrust and an animosity between people and the government that is just not workable. It's untenable in the 21st century. And so we're not going to accept the flim-flam and the excuses about how, that we're in a unique situation and we got to keep it this way. And there's no possibility that other experts could investigate the police because they don't know what the police are supposed to do, and it doesn't work that way in Delaware. We're not accepting any of those excuses anymore. So if anybody wants to meet up with us, get some information, get put on our monthly all hands meeting, please email nocapdelaware@gmail.com, NOCAP Delaware spelled out, @gmail.com. We will not only get you information, But will they be able to give you more information about how to get involved? If you want to do outreach, if you want to do comms, if you want to do social media, if you want to do policy research, we have teams set up and being set up that will sort of help you, train you if you want to learn how to do FOIAs, if you want to learn how to do interviews, if you want to learn how to do outreach. We have experts in organizing and advocacy in Delaware, Christina being one of them, Hanif Salam, Keandra McDowell, Jordan Pusey, Lakeisha Nix, Cheyenne Miller. These people are going to be there to mentor and help people who want to get involved to make a change in public safety and police reform in Delaware. So think about emailing us and at least getting on that monthly all hands call so you can keep up with our work. You can also follow us on Instagram and Facebook at NoCap Delaware. We're going to be putting up more things, and we're also going to be using the Delaware Call. That's something Christina is actually getting very involved with now. You know, if people want to tell their stories, if people want to do research and then have it published, or write commentary about policy and have it published, we have a platform for you to do that. So again, hit us up at nocapdelaware@gmail.com, and we'll get you involved in this fight, because I think it's important. I think people are, you know, they're looking for some way to sort of get involved and do something, you know. I feel like there's this current, Christina, you mentioned it, of like sort of a dark time, something looming in the background that doesn't feel very good. I know it's being talked about even on our show, but this is a way that you can get involved civically. You can meet some of the people who are doing this kind of work. We can put you in touch with other people to help you do sort of wherever you fit, whatever you like to do, we can help. So nocapdelaware@gmail.com. Christina, do you have anything else you want to add?
I just want to say, you know, please don't be afraid to volunteer. You know, we have roles that, you know, you can stay behind the scenes if being seen is something that you're worried about. Just send us an email. I would love to talk with people and find the best ways, you know, to plug you in as a volunteer. And yeah, I'm really excited to do this.
Yeah, thank you. And yeah, that I'm glad you mentioned that. I know, as I said, this is a very sort of fraught sort of issue. It's very contentious. We know that. We've seen it in public. We've seen people get in arguments in private. We've seen people get in arguments in public. And we know that the fact of the matter is a lot of this revolves around violence of, you know, ripping homeless people off of the street, violence of some of our friends and family and neighbors being killed or beat up or incarcerated. And yeah, we understand that it's tough. It's an emotional thing. And I can assure you that everybody in this core team feels that, respects that. And yeah, you can be comfortable working with us, and we'll work with you. You know, sort of however you feel. As I mentioned, there's a lot of people on the core team who have had personal experiences around this, so we take it extremely seriously. And yeah, I'm glad you brought that up.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Rob, again, I really appreciate you getting this started, and I am really excited for all of the big things that we're going to help to get accomplished here in Delaware.
Cool. Well, thank you very much. And actually, we'll talk a little later this evening when we do some planning about our membership stuff. But you don't have to be involved in that. We're going to work on that behind the scenes, everyone. So, Christina, thank you. And yeah, now back to our regularly scheduled program. You came out.
I'm glad I came out, too. I'm glad I survived the walk. Thank you, Mayor Carney.
I know. Well, here's the other thing, too, is, like, I'm not surprised you survived the walk, though, because you just do it all. You were just in Puerto Rico a couple weeks ago.
Rode a horse.
You fucking rode a horse. How are you riding a horse? You shouldn't be riding. First
no,
of all,
I shouldn't have been
to be
riding
honest
a
with
horse.
You, shouldn't be riding a horse.
Well, let me...
Am I the only one saying that?
Let me explain. I have a buddy. His name's Marty Perkins, and Liz. They're a couple, and I've known him a long time. And I've known them. We met in kind of tragic circumstances. We've become great friends, and their love of Puerto Rico I discovered after my love of Puerto Rico was a couple of years in. And they moved down there, and they built this thing called La Casa Tin, and it's this house on a hill. It's built out of trailers, truck trailers, but seven of them with an elevator and a rooftop deck and all this stuff. And they're down there, and this place is just kind of really important to me. And Marty does things for people, and he has built tin houses and smaller ones for container houses for people. And he knew this lady because he did a container thing for the lady that owned the stable. So I had people watching me.
Okay.
I mean, I did it myself, but there were people, was never less than 5 feet, 6 feet away.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you this, a famous friend of ours, a comrade and friend and original patron, Bert Moniz. We've interviewed him a few times. The Highlands Bunker started out in his basement. He's traveled the world. He was born in Bhopal, India. He grew up in London. He lived in Birmingham. He lived in Toronto. He lived in Texas. Then he came here for DuPont. He's traveled all over the world. And his favorite place in the world, I believe, is Puerto Rico. Well, he loves it.
It's a colony. It's a colony that belongs to us in the collective way, and we don't treat it. We treat it like shit.
Well, we treat it like a real colony.
And the people there, when we originally got it, we got it so we could send their people. We gave them citizenship so we could put them in the army and send them to World War I. I mean, that's how we got the place and how Puerto Ricans got citizenship. I mean, the story of Puerto Rico is the story of all the worst of us.
Yeah. Yeah, and the people are still, and the culture's so vibrant, the people are so dope.
The people are wonderful.
Yeah, it's crazy.
The people are wonderful. The real Puerto Rico is it's hard to describe.
Well, this is a good time to make a shout out to our dear friend and somebody who is also, or I assume she still is, heavily involved in the Wilmington Democratic Award system, Maria Beauchamp. So, hola, Maria. But that was the last thing I kind of wanted to talk about, because about, I guess, a couple of months ago, something broke out in the Wilmington Democratic Party network, whatever you want to call it, and Dwayne Bensing was involved in it, and he had to file a grievance, and he was citing legal stuff, and he came in the studio and talked to us, and it just seemed so esoteric and weird to me. But his ire was turned towards Cassandra Marshall, and I know your ire very often turns towards Cassandra Marshall.
Not anymore.
Anymore. You're done. Did you have a conversation last night with someone who you're pulling punches? Are you pulling punches?
A little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm going to continue to. What I'll say is this: I have decided to not allow negative forces into my aura, and that's kind of a hippie way of saying it.
I was going to say, in the spirit of the 60 Minutes genre, I feel like I have to interrogate this. Did you take mushrooms before you came in here?
No, I didn't.
do you want to take them later? Oh, sorry.
No, I'll pass on that, but, it's not like I never did that, but it's been 50
but you're
years.
Talking about a fucking, I mean, here's the thing. I appreciate somebody talking about not wanting to be mad and trying to stay with the positive aura. I get that.
Let me say it another way.
Okay.
She's not worth my time, and I'm not spending any on it.
I got you.
End of story.
This is similar to your advice about the Bud Friel thing.
He's not worth my time. I gave you a little bit for shits and giggles.
And you made your point there. You were like, why give him any oxygen? I never responded, but I guess I'll respond now. That is definitely a strategy that I've been advised to take many times. I think my issue with it is he's going to be the Delaware Way king of rat fuckery, as you said, and very good at
the,
it.
The throne is shaky, and let me just say this about that, okay? I don't know, was your somewhere I saw, and I don't know who wrote it. It was a person in the Medina age group who...
These goddamn kids.
Who said, oh, I know who it was. It was Frankel.
Oh, George Frankel, okay.
George Frankel impressed me, by the way, and one of the things he said was, in dismissing Buddy, was, he's like 77. And then he just left it and said that he's like 27. You know, demographics is going to do away with both me and Buddy, and I'm actually older than Buddy. So, you know, we're going to be gone. I accept that, and I want to see people, young people, succeed. I want to see progress. Buddy, I don't know what the fuck he wants, but it ain't what I want.
That's fair. I completely understand your point of view. The only thing I'll say is something similar to what I said to George Frankel. And I don't think George Frankel wants what you want either.
I don't think he does either.
I think he's doing it for a different reason.
He impressed me with a perspective.
Okay. Here's
not
my
necessarily one I agree a whole lot with, but a perspective.
So this is kind of what I was going to say. I understand what you're saying. The problem is twofold. Number one, this guy's gonna rat fuck our side until he's in the grave. He's not gonna stop. I mean, he's retired now, but he's still doing it. As I said with Brendan Fletcher, as I said what he's tried to do with Shanae, as he's done with Ted Cruz in the Senate district. So if he's continuing
but see,
to
do it, I know why he does it.
Then why does he do it?
It's a hobby.
Well, then my hobby is to fuck with him when he's
okay,
at the pub.
I get it, but it's a hobby for him. That he's just
it's a weird hobby.
He's doing it because he can.
Right, but it's a, what I'm saying is if that's your hobby.
He goes and has a beer with his buddies afterwards and said, "I still got it."
Yes, and so here's what I'll say. I'm sort of doing the same thing, frankly, and I think that if you want to continue your hobby of stopping political progress, and you want to rat fuck Brandon Fletcher, and you want to rat fuck Adriana Boehm, Dr. Boehm, and you want to, you know, if you want to do this stuff, if you want to still get appointed and go do and fill out Gerald Brady's thing to try to do the bidding of Przycki and BPG for the 3 months you're in Dover, if you're still going to do all that stuff, then when you come out to the pub, I'm going to fucking make fun of you, and then we're all going to laugh about it. Because if you're going to do what you're going to do for fun, then why don't I get to do what I'm going to do for fun?
I don't think I said you couldn't.
You know? I know. Well, I know. Here's what I'll say. You were arguing for the idea to not just ignore it, don't give
pretty
any
much,
oxygen,
yeah, I mean,
and I that doesn't seem fun for me.
I haven't thought about him, you know, until you brought it up when I got here, we're going to talk about him. He doesn't occupy any space in my brain.
Ted Cruz hasn't even won the fucking primary yet. We still got to deal with that guy going to Dover.
Carl had the definitive answer on that, and you know the answer is that the real election will be. And that's another thing. You got to understand something, okay? We all grew up in a convention nominating system. That's going to have to just make noise until it stops. We all grew up in a convention nominating system that's very similar to what these two kangaroo things that happened were.
I love that this is playing and while you're explaining
and
this.
And they know that we knew how to do it then, and it's not that different than it was when we had a convention system 40 years ago, 40, 50, almost 50 years ago. It hasn't changed that much. And these guys learned it when they were young. I learned it when I was young, and I knew that they knew that. That's why I was like resigned that what was going to happen happened. They're good at that shit.
Yeah. No, I did think about this walking over here, trudging through the snow like you did. In a certain sense, I would do the same in his shoes. Now, who I'm doing it for and why I'm doing it, I think I can articulate
it
a little better.
That's the point.
I think I can articulate it a little better.
Yeah.
Now, so again, the fact that he's doing it, fine, do it. But you have to put up with public scrutiny. You have to put up with people knowing what you did, why you did it.
He's just for fun,
as you said. For fun, he wants to go and fuck with people.
Listen, he's been in the public arena with this, so he's fair game to, like, criticize his tactics. But we're also 70-something-year-old guys with a lot of history, both good, bad, and indifferent. And he's a human being that I've known since I was young. So I, you know, as much I'll go to the edge and like make fun and do stuff, but we're still dealing with a person. And sometimes we forget that. And to the extent that I have forgotten it, I need to work on that. And you can't fight a fight if you don't follow some form of your own rules. And Biden is tremendously criticized for that because his rules are nobody understands.
They don't work. But, yeah. He's the only one who understands.
But he does go by you know whatever it is he goes by in his brain, and you know I got to be that same way. You know I have you know right now Carney is fair, my fair game. All of my critical.
Okay.
Energy is going towards
now know, that I like that, that you're like look if I'm gonna do any ire in my state it's all going at John Carney I'm fucking fine with
he's
that.
On social media right now with that video that you know I sent you saying hey how about shoveling the damn snow
he does not care it's so
I know
sad.
But you keep you know you got to point it out to others
yeah. I'm glad we had this conversation today man because I didn't know again I'm very interested in this I don't know. I just feel like you had a recent epiphany because we did. Again, I'm very glad you've sort of taken this sort of tact. But we had a conversation a few weeks ago, and you were going at people on the internet then.
I don't take any of that back. Okay.
Okay.
I'm not saying I don't take. You know, anywhere I might have gone a little over the edge a little bit. Yeah. Okay. Fine. But yeah. I don't take any in general terms. I don't take any of that back. And I did what I did, and. The world has changed a little, though, like it or not. The world has changed a little. I deal with mortality thoughts more than the average person. I spent most of the first quarter of last year in the hospital. I'm having a little bit of a good health run right now. I'm trying to take advantage of it, and you know that's very fragile. It could go away at any moment. So yeah, I guess I'm kind of reflective because we're about to go into a very difficult period with this bozo
Trump thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can't. Again, this is why I'm fascinated by this conversation because I'm in a little bit of the same boat. I get it.
Yeah. I mean, we need friends.
Yeah.
And we got to like think about who can. We need to stop thinking about. Who can we cut off and not be our friends? Who can we go back to and say, look, you know, maybe we fought, but, you know, at this point, maybe, you know, we got some stuff. You know, there's some shit, bad shit going on. Let's help each other.
Yeah.
You know.
But this does not apply to you,
by the way. We're having, I mean, I don't want to be overdramatic, but there's two things that I've thought about, 1939 and 1968. I studied 1939, but I lived 1968. I was 17 when Nixon beat Humphrey. I was going to be 18 soon, and my government was looking at me like meat. And my government looked at me like meat for 2.5 years.
What was your number when it came out of the lottery, your birthday?
34.
My dad's was September 14th was number one. That was my pops. That's why I knew that was a thing. So yours was 34.
I was in the second lottery.
Yeah, you were close.
I did not get drafted.
Yeah.
That's a whole new show.
Yeah.
But I did not get drafted, but I was on a bus, and there was one last thing that could happen one way or another way, and I'd either be on the train back home from Philly from this dingy federal building on Broad Street, or I would be at Fort Dix. And I was resigned to whichever was going to happen. And what happened, and I was on the train, and I, you know, it worked out. But that's how close I came to being cannon fodder. Everybody in my age group that did whatever it is they did, you know, I have no argument with.
No. I think history has proved you correct on that. It's like, people, people who got sucked into it, people who could get out of it, people got out of it, people who didn't want to, whatever. Yeah, I mean, it's horrible. And we see it again and again and again and again. But you're right. It's, I think 39, I mean, what's your point about 39? Same.
Hitler.
I mean, here's the thing. You
actually more like 35, 36, like when it germinated.
So, you know, I've been getting off of this idea like we're in Weimar. I'm kind of off of it.
I'm not.
No, you're still on it.
No. Well, I think it's building. We need more Father Burks and Reverend Bishop Buds to get off their asses and start getting some moral outrage going on.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know Father Burke is down for it.
I know he is, and so was Bishop Budd yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God. That, lady, that lady had a pair.
Here's what I'll say about the historical context, and maybe Carl can cut in some shit here. The economic, the socioeconomic and political situation in Weimar, Germany, after World War One.
Totally different.
It's completely different.
Yeah, that part's different.
Than this. But that's the only thing. The only way this all happened is because of that.
Well, the germination and the circumstances are different. We're coming to the place where the result is the same.
Potentially. I can't say because I mean he is saying some weird shit. And
he's doing weird shit, Mueller.
But here's the difference though, he does it. He has a he has an off button when it doesn't get ratings, he can turn it off.
Yeah, but
and so
his on button is so much more intense.
I mean, it's bad. Here's the thing, it's very bad. I understand that, but he's already been the president 4 years. We're still here.
Yeah, but like he's being
to pretend like we're all going to go off on the Eastern Front and have to fight the Russians. I don't think
he pardoned the Silk Road guy. Do you know about Silk Road?
I know about Silk Road. Tor browser, dark web. That's how you get
he
your fucking drugs.
The guy.
Look, the guy's just trying to do guns and drug trafficking on the dark web.
Help reduce crime by putting bloodthirsty assaulters and some guy.
And you know his screen name was the Dread Pirate Roberts, right? Which is like the Princess Bride movie. Very weird. These people are all very strange. But I mean, everybody does that now. Biden pardoned his whole family. Blanket pardoned his whole family.
Oh, yeah, he left all of them.
Which, again, you do what you got to do. I don't really care. But this is what everybody does this now. This is the thing to do. So the idea that Trump is somehow doing in his sort of arena anything different than Biden or Obama would do in theirs, or Clinton even, is they're doing the same stuff.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but... What this guy does is he supersizes everything.
Yes, well that's for ratings. We're always looking at the ratings, folks.
Yeah, but it's like, and he doesn't care who gets hurt or dead or whatever when he does that and supersizes. Whatever.
I would. Here's the thing, though. I would also while he had a different style, not a supersized style, I would also say that Bill Clinton didn't care if people lived or died in the same way. He pretend his character made it look like maybe he did. His actions certainly exposed that he didn't. So Trump says the Clinton quiet part out loud. I mean, Clinton's shipped all the fucking jobs overseas, changed welfare, and fucking ruined the country. But he pretended, his political character that he went out and did every day, pretended it's something else. Trump does basically the same shit. But he just doesn't pretend. I mean, he pretends in a different way.
You're not. I can't make a real debate argument against you for that. I see it so little differently. It's just not worth arguing about.
I mean, it is. I don't like the fact. And again, I hope people understand. Like, I don't like the fact that, you know, that Trump is using the thing where you just demonize like social stupid shit, like. You're going to demonize, like, immigrants who work here and trans people.
Yeah, that's...
Okay. I mean, it's bad. It's not fucking good.
But that's what gets me. Because that's what hurts my heart. And, you know.
I mean, have they voted on that fucking immigration bill yet? You know, the real harsh one? Have they? Because Coons is going to vote for that shit, right?
He voted against his advancement, actually.
Oh, did he? Okay, well, let's see what happens. But, like, who... You know, maybe he'll vote against it, but... It's a bipartisan effort. We'll just say that. Is it fair to say bipartisan effort?
It's like 8 to 10 Democrats.
8 to 10. I mean, what the fuck? What's being a Democrat mean? Just, if 8 to 10 of them are voting for the immigration, the fucking draconian immigration thing to foreclosure, right? For they couldn't filibuster it because of the 10 Dems. What the fuck does being a Democrat mean then? The same. It means the same thing. I don't know.
You're not. Again, you're not wrong. I'm very cynical of anything outside any federal elected. My level of cynicism with the anything above state offices is just, and it doesn't matter who's sitting in the various seats.
It doesn't.
The people that I have some admiration for, if you dig a little bit, they're all flawed.
Yeah. Well, I will say this. However it transpired, by whatever sort of reflection thought and meditation, I like where you're at. Because I don't think people should worry about. I mean, I don't really think people should worry about the federal stuff so much. I mean, you're going to have to in some fashion, but you see where the big stuff's happening.
Yeah,
and where Meyer was here. We have an opportunity. Actually, I am actually calling on people to take responsibility since Meyer talks to us. Since we're like this now, this is our opportunity. Yeah, they said. What did Roosevelt say? Make me do it. Okay, let's make him do it.
I just we'll see what Matt does. I go a little bit, I'll go with a guy. Part of Trump's success is gut. It is. And I got a gut, and my gut says, Meyer, no matter what he does, it's going to come out significantly better than the last guy. Whether it's enough better or, whatever, and the details of where things go exactly, who knows. But I think some good stuff against all the bad shit that's going to happen federally is there'll be some balance. That's all. I'm easy,
Easy peasy.
Yeah.
Folks, we're going to try to get the internet up so I can watch the second half of these fucking matches and maybe play a little 8-ball in here. But I will tell you this, very soon the studio is going to be not complete, but operational, functionally ready. And we're going to have a lot of fun stuff in there, too. We're going to do some fun shows like Bits and Gags. We're going to do some shows with Father Burke and some academics about the priest role in social movements. It's going to be fun. Keep tuning in. And remember, tick, 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 left is best.